Fantasy Freaks and Geeks, what's up?
I do welcome you to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. James Go here with you. Joined alongside by the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. What's up?
Well, I'm excited to be here. You know, we had the nice long weekend.
Indeed.
Memorial Day, which was very fun.
Did you guys do anything cool?
I have a friend getting married in next weekend, this coming weekend in Alabama, but some of us weren't able to make the trip happen for financial reasons or other things like that. It's kind of like tough direct flights in, and then you had to like rent a car and drive and stuff, and we have other things going on. So
there's no direct flights to remote Alabama. What is going on?
Yeah, no, it's at a country club somewhere in Alabama, and so we went out with him this weekend and had a bunch of fun. We actually did kind of a little K-Town throwdown. Korean barbecue and karaoke.
Good.
So that was a lot of fun.
Perfect. And I wasn't invited. What's up with that? I don't know.
You don't know the groom to be.
Well, I mean, I know Koreatown. I mean, come on.
You do.
You know, it's.
End up at one of the karaoke.
Should have hired a guide.
We did end up at one of the karaoke joints you took us to, though.
Oh, lovely.
The one we had to go down into the basement.
Oh, yeah. And you guys thought I was going to kill you.
Yeah, it was. It was like under construction. So for those listening, it was a karaoke joint in like some sort of like corporate business tower.
Yeah, it was
tower,
like a business park tower.
But you walk
yeah.
in. And like the first floor and the basement of the business park was like under construction. And James is like, we got to go downstairs. And we're like,
yeah, okay, well.
Yeah, sure. Just walk down this dark alley. You'll find the place you need to be at the end. But then you pop out of the elevator and it's like, boom, bright lights and karaoke. We're like, oh, okay.
Okay, there it is. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What's going on?
Not much, man.
What's your Memorial Day weekend?
I was in the beautiful city of Chicago.
Oh, Chi-Town?
Over the weekend.
Okay.
Went out to... enjoyed the city and the sights there and saw a couple of Cubs games.
Okay.
With our pal Haitham Kalani, producer.
Wow.
Fantasy Live. It was great. I mean, I've been to Wrigley before, but it's always fun. It's just such a great, fun place to be.
Yeah, it is.
Especially when the weather's beautiful like it was over the weekend.
Oh, great.
And one game we did, we sat on the rooftops across the street.
Nice.
Which is fantastic. It's not the place to be if you actually want to watch the game.
No.
You want to just go and party and hang out. Like, yeah. It's awesome. The next day, I certainly nerded out, and I was at the game by myself, and I brought my scorebook.
No, you did not.
I totally did.
What?
I totally kept score. Yes.
Nerd!
Every once in a while, I will go do that. I will just go to a game by myself and
going back
score.
To your roots.
Yeah, man. It's a couple of pencils, pencil sharpener.
Oh my!
A beer and a hot dog. It's all good.
Now, did you have those those old school headphones in?
You know, I thought about bringing finding an old transistor radio one earphone or whatever, and just like sit there. But no, I did not.
That's awesome. Producer Christina in the building. What's up?
What's up?
How you doing?
Pretty good.
How was your long weekend?
It was good. It's funny that Marcus went to Chicago. My best friend left Chicago to visit here for the weekend.
Oh.
So.
It's actually the Traveler Exchange Program.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, I figured that's what you guys did. Makes the most sense.
It's interesting. You know, every time we talk to you, you're either going away or somebody's coming in. You have a lot of visitors and or visit a lot of people.
Yeah.
Is that what it's like to have friends? Because I don't, I'm not sure.
I mean, living in a place like this, everyone wants to come visit.
There
so
you,
you get everyone saying, oh, yeah, I know we haven't seen each other in forever, but uh-huh. I'll come visit.
There you
okay.
go.
Why not?
Well, what'd you guys do? I mean, did you guys go to Hollywood? Did you guys go
oh,
to
yeah,
the beach?
I was such a tour guide for the weekend.
Oh,
Hollywood sign. We saw everything.
Yeah.
Walk of Fame.
Okay.
Did it all.
Well, see, some people, when they visit, they want to do the touristy thing, and other people, they just
want
to go.
Yeah, like, they want like, the clubbing. Local experience, or they want to go, like, out partying.
Right.
We did a little bit of everything.
Okay. Atta-baby. There you go. Great show in front of us here today. We're going to be doing a roster reset of the NFC North, the Bears, the Packers, the Lions, and the Vikings. This is a division that saw a lot of change. A lot of change. And meanwhile, the Packers, who relatively stayed the same, also added some very interesting pieces as well. Of course, Aaron Rodgers going to be getting healthy there as well. But, man, you look at the coaching changes. You look at the quarterbacks they added. You look at the overall talent that they added. This is a very, very intriguing division in the NFL. We'll close out the round of Daily Daps, but we start your show, as we always do, with your top fantasy headlines.
Oh, my God, the news!
We really do have breaking news.
Hey, did you guys know that the Eagles, the Patriots, are playing in the Super Bowl?
That is breaking news.
Breaking news.
News.
News. All right, let's get right to it. Brandon Marshall, wide receiver, not the linebacker. Wide receiver, Brandon Marshall, shockingly signed by Seattle to a one-year deal. It could be worth up to, I think, $2 million is the report there. 34-year-old Brandon Marshall played in 5 games last season, compiling a grand total of 154 receiving yards. The team, we're talking about Seattle now, lost pass catchers Jimmy Graham and Paul Richardson this offseason. I say shockingly because I did not think Brandon Marshall would find a home.
Before Dez Bryant.
Before Dez Bryant. How is this possible? How is this possible?
Dez wants too much money.
I guess that's what it is.
Doesn't realize he's probably getting closer to the same market value that Marshall hit.
Right. It's $2 million with incentives. You know, I mean, it's like up to $2 million. I mean,
and they said on the ATN podcast yesterday that the veteran minimum for somebody of Marshall's tenure is about $1 million, anyways. So,
right, so.
They basically finagled it, so he's not getting the veteran minimum, but he is. Yeah. And I like this move makes sense football wise because Seattle needs bodies in the passing game, and
indeed.
Marshall is a veteran. However, I'm not too concerned about this like ruining Doug Baldwin's value or even Tyler Lockett's like deep sleeper credentials. I mean, Brandon Marshall the last 2 years has caught just 3 touchdowns in his last 161 targets. So like the notion that he's a red zone receiving threat for them is a little overblown.
Nope.
And also he's posted a catch rate of under 48% those last 2 years as well.
Oh.
So like Marshall's had a phenomenal career. He's an awesome player. Love what he's done off the field. Like his football life is really fantastic.
Yeah,
you've never seen it about his struggles.
Mental health awareness
and things like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that we need to overreact for fantasy. If anything, his arrival might, to more casual people, even decrease the value of Baldwin and Lockett and benefit you for taking him.
Yeah.
Remember when 42-year-old Jerry Rice played 11 games for the Seattle Seahawks?
I do indeed. That was the weirdest sight in the world.
This sort of feels like that. I mean, you know, Rice played, was it 2000? I'm looking at it right now. 2004, played 11 games. 25 catches, 362 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That's probably low. I think Marshall will get you probably more than that. But
I think he get here's the over under 400 yards.
I mean, I think he'll get over.
I'll take the hard under.
Wow. But I mean, I'm with Alex.
I'll take the hard under.
I don't expect him to really be fantasy relevant this year. I'm not changing my outlook on any of the other Seahawks because Brandon Marshall suddenly showed up there.
Yeah, man. You know, I think it's one of those things where I think some people might be intrigued again because of the name value for one, but also again, this is why I mentioned Jimmy Graham and Paul Richardson, you know, leaving the team. It leaves certainly a large vacuum of targets that are up for grabs. You know, you would think that Doug Baldwin absorbs some. You would think that Tyler Lockett would hopefully absorb a lot of those targets, as a matter of fact. There's a lot of reports coming out of the Pacific Northwest as well that they want to get back to what they did well during their championship run, which was clock control. They want to run the ball, do a little bit more power. And maybe that works.
Is going to be in the state to allow them to do that so much.
That's right.
That's also another reason bigger picture, I really like Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett this year is because I think this team could be passing a lot.
You think so?
More than people expect. Yes. I mean, I'm pretty sure Russell.
Can they pass more than they did last year? I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Okay.
The offensive line isn't great. I'm
not
sold on the running game, even though they invested a first round pick in Rashad Penny. I think he's going to be fine for fantasy and stuff, but I don't think he's going to have like a Zeke Elliott type of or Leonard Fournette first round draft pick impact where he comes in and, you know, fundamentally changes that offense.
Because they just don't have the pieces to do it.
No, instead, they've lost so many key players on the defense, both through free agency, retirements, injuries, and stuff like that. And their division got a lot better the last 2 years.
Yep.
There are two offenses, maybe even, you know, two offenses that can put up points in San Francisco.
Isn't that better for Seattle, though, if they get caught up in a shootout?
That's what I mean. I'm explaining why they're going to be passing a lot more than some people might think.
Okay.
So that's why I like Baldwin and Lockett.
Okay, good. I like it. Kareem Hunt said he is focusing on the passing game during OTAs, running a lot more different routes, working on his hands. Remember, he was routinely, and quite honestly, to me anyways, just confusingly, confoundingly, bafflingly taken out of games during hurry-up situations or when the Chiefs were playing a little bit of catch-up. Charkandrick West was the primary pass catcher. They threw him in there when they needed, you know, they were doing a 2-minute drill. They got Charkandrick West out there for some reason. Spencer Ware returns as a potential backup as well. What do we make of the news that Kareem Hunt will see an expanded role potentially in the passing game, Marcus Grant?
I like it. I like it. I mean, you know, we obviously know what he did last year as a runner.
Yeah.
And
led the league in rushing.
Yeah. And so anything you can do to stay on the field more often is a plus. You know, after the knee injury, you mentioned Spencer Ware looking like he's probably playing in that number two spot. Charcandrick West maybe gets bumped down a little bit, but if Kareem Hunt can do more things to stay on the field, you know, that is a big plus. I'm also curious how he will fit in. I mean, I guess I think the big X factor obviously is Patrick Mahomes and what he does for this offense.
Right.
I'm optimistic. I like what he offers. And I think in terms of mobility, I don't know that you lose a ton from, you know, him going from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. So, I don't know. I'm pleased with this whole thing. Again, the more he can do to stay on the field, and if he can become a bigger part of that passing game, admittedly with more weapons out, they have Sammy Watkins. You know, I don't know. Watkins can be that field stretcher, kind of clear out some things underneath, and maybe give Hunt a little bit of room to operate there.
I think this is an OTA nothing burger.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. You know who was third on the Chiefs in targets last year? Kareem Hunt.
Okay.
He doesn't need to work on his passing game credentials. The reason he got taken off last year, I think, was because of pass protection and assignments. Charcandrick West was somebody they trusted more in hurry-up situations. Kareem Hunt was top 10 among all running backs in receiving yards last year. And I believe
that's a good note.
I believe he was top 10 in receptions too. So that, like, this is I'm not gonna adjust him up or down. He was just outside. Wait, where did he go in receptions? He was here. Okay. Anyways, he's high in both regards. But like, I'm not gonna move him up or down my draft board because of an OTA note that he's working on his passing game when he was third on the team in targets.
It's interesting to me because, you know, I think the feeling was, and I didn't look at, obviously I did not look at the numbers. I did not look at the numbers intently enough, but the feeling I think around Kareem Hunt certainly was that, you know, he wasn't utilized to his maximum potential in the passing game. Remember when he just came out gangbusters? I mean, he had a million touchdowns, and then the Chiefs went on that 0-5 slide or whatever it was. I think they lost five games in a row. Was that what it was? They opened up
something
six
like
games. They won six games and they lost five games or something like that. Anyways, during that cold stretch, Kareem Hunt was just, I mean, people were talking about, at the end of the stretch, people were talking about maybe dropping the guy.
Was a weekly, like, what do I do with Kareem Hunt?
You know what I'm saying?
That was a weekly.
Yeah, exactly. But I felt like a big part of the problem there, especially in PPR leagues, was, you know, when you have your star running back kind of do nothing for you, and then it's, okay, now it's the last, you know, minute 40 of the game, and they need some checkdowns. And you're like, yeah, baby, here we go. Give me some of those cheap PPR points.
And it's somebody else's.
And it's always Charcandrick West. And it just made me so angry with life. So angry. Why is Charcandrick West in the ball game?
So you're saying this note is in here basically for personal reasons.
Oh, obviously. who's putting the rundown together? I mean, come on, brother. If I can't have editorial subjectivity, I mean, come on. What's going on here? Carson Wentz was spotted at OTAs jogging 5 months removed from major knee surgery. Again, not a whole lot to make out of that, but just a good note that Carson Wentz looks like he is back on track to potentially play here in the upcoming season, which is good for the NFL, good for fantasy, good for the Philadelphia Eagles, no doubt about it. All right, Dez, as we mentioned, still out there in free agency. Green Bay passed on him. There were some rumors linking him to San Francisco as well, and then as soon as those rumors got out there, boy, they just put a big old, you know, fat cup of cold water.
Are you saying they threw up the X?
Hey-o.
Hey! Dez shall not pass.
Wow, got him.
That's exactly right. San Francisco looks like they're going to pass on him as well. GM John Lynch said they are very happy with their group of pass catchers, and why not? I think they've got a pretty decent set of pass catchers there as well, working around Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think the Colts are the best landing spot for Dez right now, football and fantasy-wise.
You know what? I like that fit. I like that fit a lot because they need that big body. And I tell you what, man, after these last couple of seasons, they just need somebody to get competitive. You know what I'm saying? And raise that locker room emotionally. And Dez could potentially be that guy. Now, obviously, you run across a problem as well where if things are not going right and they're suffering another 2-14 season, I don't know if you want Dez in the locker room. I don't know if you want that guy in the locker room. But if they're somewhat competitive in the AFC South, I love the fact that, you know, Dez might come in and raise the competitive spirit of the Colts as well. All right, should we get into it?
Let's do it.
The roster reset of the NFC North, a division that Alex Gelhar is highly, highly invested.
I've watched a lot of NFC North ball in my day.
We're going to go backwards order, okay? We're going to go worst to first, all right, from last year, 2017. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be like that in 2018. As a matter of fact, I doubt we will see the same in 2018, although, who knows? The Bears last year, 5-11. They fired John Fox. They added head coach Matt Nagy, the former quarterback coach slash play caller from Kansas City, and they added former Oregon head coach Mark Helfrich as the team's offensive coordinator. It starts from the top. It starts from the top, Alex Gelhar. People are excited about the Bears because John Fox is gone and because Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich are there to shepherd a new offensive era of Chicago Bears football.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, John Fox was offering us the closest thing to Jeff Fisher we had without Jeff Fisher in there in terms of like an uninspiring, lackluster fantasy offense. They immediately went and got Nagy and Helfrich, who are two good offensive minds. Nagy, I mean, Andy Reid has a long and healthy coaching tree coming out underneath him, and he even said Matt Nagy might be one of the best head coaching candidates to come out underneath him. And
by the way, the
Super Bowl champion head coach Doug Peterson had just come out from under Reed's coaching tree as well.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of offensive innovation, which is great news for Mitchell Trubisky. A lot of people are making the comparison to the Rams. I don't know if they'll have that same swing, but love the moves for Mitchell Trubisky. You also have next in the rundown, they added Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, and Trey Burton. Mm-hmm. Talk about overhauling a wide receiving core.
That's what I'm saying.
You get an athletic seam-stretching tight end. You get a do-it-all speedster in Taylor Gabriel. And then you get Allen Robinson, a true number one receiver. Like, this is a great, 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 great overhaul. I think a lot of these Bears players are going to be nice values in fantasy.
Offensive lineman Josh Sitton, who is a terrific offensive lineman, played guard for the Chicago Bears, was cut and then moved to Miami. But I think people are going to say, okay, he's just a guard, which is, I think that's fair. I mean, especially given the overall offensive talent they've added as well. Oh, by the way, it's not as if this is an imbalanced offense here. They got Jordan Howard. They've got Tariq Cohen there as well. This is a reason why a lot of folks are excited about the
Chicago
Bears.
You mentioned Tariq Cohen too. And I think that I read earlier this week
from
Brad Biggs. There's a lot of talk that Cohen could get a bigger role as the third down back.
That's right.
This year, last year, a lot of that was Benny Cunningham, who played fairly well, right now the coaching staff's looking at him, at Cohen, as the option to be the third down guy. They obviously know about his athleticism, his explosiveness, what he can do. They're hoping he can improve in pass protection and just not have to come off the field there. But, I say that as somebody who was chided last week.
Take him in the seventh round?
For Tariq Cohen. So,
top 100 player,
so my
Tariq Cohen.
My response
Let's
to
go.
You is officially, na-na-na-na-na. So, there you go.
You keep taking Tariq Cohen in the seventh round, man. I will gladly pick up the fallout that trickles down the draft board from your move.
I would love to see Tariq Cohen on the field a lot. And whether or not he gets the targets, whether or not he gets the carries, I just want to see him on the field because he is an electric playmaker. And the defense must account for Tariq Cohen. And if they don't, I would love to see the Bears take advantage of the defense there. So, I don't know, man. Last year, that's what was just so befuddling to me was the fact that Tariq Cohen, who was one of their only playmakers, was taken off the field routinely on plays they need to get yards. It didn't make any sense to me, and that's a big reason why I think John Fox is gone as well. All right, let's move on to the Packers. Last year, 7-9, Aaron Rodgers comes back after getting approximately 974 screws placed into his various collarbones.
Give or take.
Jordy Nelson was cut.
Give or take, like 960.
So a lot of screws, bud.
I don't know what the actual number is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think he had. I think legitimately, off the top of my head, I think it was 9 screws.
Yikes,
that's a lot. Jordy Nelson was cut. It opens the door for Davante Adams to be their true, uncontested number one. Who? Oh, by the way, they signed to a 4-year, $58 million extension back in December. So obviously, the organization feels as if Davante Adams is going to be their true number one wide receiver. They signed Jimmy Graham. They signed Mercedes Lewis at tight end. I think each one will have their role. Mercedes Lewis, a great blocker out there. Jimmy Graham, a great pass catcher as well, will be the best pass catcher possibly that Aaron Rodgers has had at the tight end position.
Oh, no, he is.
Yeah.
We don't need to beat around the bush.
Well, you know, I want to at least pay some respect. I mean, Jimmy Graham's getting a little older, and I wanted to pay a little bit, you know, a little bit of due. To JerMichael Finley.
Finley.
Yeah, to JerMichael
like
Finley.
Cook.
I love JerMichael Finley, but he was one of those great what-if players.
Yeah.
Because he never was able to finish a full season, and right. earlier in his career he was inconsistent. So, like
– He's Jordan Reed.
He never – little bit. Lesser Jordan Reed.
Okay.
I mean, JerMichael Finley, the sky was the limit for that guy if he stayed healthy. But
yeah.
he never put it all together. Jimmy Graham has multiple, like, 1,200-yard, 13-touchdown
okay.
seasons. So.
All right, fair enough. The team also added wide receivers Jamon Moore and Equanimeous St. Brown in the draft. Hey, man, you know, I forgot to ask you, MG, who won the games tournament?
It was
– You never mentioned it on the podcast.
I don't think I did. You know why? Because when it happened, I was in Dallas for the draft.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Well, it was the number one overall seed, Equanimeous St. Brown.
There it is. Well, there you go. I saw the name, and that's what got me to thinking.
Yeah.
About the turn. So congratulations to ESB. There you go. We go to the Wizkid from Wisconsin regarding the Packers. What do you think of all the roster? I don't even want to call it an overhaul because really it's just kind of they just added to their core.
Yeah, they just moved some things around.
Basically. Yeah, exactly.
They, I mean, losing Jordy Nelson is sad as a Packer fan. I mean,
100%.
He was there for 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, it was time to move on. And getting Jimmy Graham is a nice upgrade for the red zone. I mean, over the last 2 years, Davante Adams leads all wide receivers in receiving touchdowns. And Jimmy Graham leads all tight ends in receiving touchdowns.
Hello.
So that Packers offense is set up, especially when they get near the red zone, because
yeah.
both of those guys are excellent threats there. I think, well, we certainly need to keep our eye on that wide receiver three battle, whether
yeah.
it is incumbent Geronimo Allison or even Trevor Davis or one of these new rookies. Randall Cobb is a name to circle in your drafts. Rodgers loves him, obviously. He had that epic 3-touchdown game in the playoffs, I think 2 years ago,
okay.
where he caught the Hail Mary against the Giants, too. And he's just tumbling in drafts, like to round 8, 9, 10. And I saw a stat. I was trying to find it this morning, but I couldn't get it. But something like Aaron Rodgers has, in his fully healthy seasons, has had two top 24 PPR wide receivers in, like, every year except one.
Okay.
And that was the year when the sky fell and Rodgers
yeah, yeah,
was
yeah.
the QB8 or whatever. So Cobb.
Sky fell and he was the QB.
Well, do you remember
no,
like,
I,
how
I,
people
I,
talked
no,
about
no,
that
I
year?
No,
like,
absolutely.
Is Rodgers cooked?
I totally remember that.
Oh, my God. The guy threw like 33 touchdowns and 4,000 yards. And we're talking like he's got 1 foot in the grave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think Cobb is the name to circle. Like the passing attack is probably going to be pretty concentrated between
three
guys.
Isn't it possible that it is Davante Adams and Jimmy Graham?
Oh yeah, I think they're going to be the main two, but Cobb is going to have a big role as well.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Randall Cobb. It's interesting to me too because when Aaron Rodgers, suffered the broken collarbone and then came back, a lot of folks there was a lot of press clippings as to, oh, Jordy Nelson might see a revival here, and really it was Randall Cobb.
Yeah, Cobb. I mean, he tried to get to Jordy, but like Rodgers wasn't right in that Carolina game. But well, Cobb was the one that was able to get more open and was still a matchup
yeah.
nightmare. Yeah. And I know even our dear friend Matt Harmon has been working on all his reception perception stuff and
tweeted
about that he's believing in the Cobb bounce back season.
Love it.
I mean, you remember the heights that Cobb hit? It's forever ago now
because
it was 2014.
Long time.
91 catches, nearly 1,300 yards,
okay.
12 touchdowns.
Can I go back to Davante Adams, though?
Please.
MG, Mike, it's one of those things where I think people, casual fans, are not able to wrap their minds around Davante Adams being a top 12, top 15 player in fantasy drafts. I think the stench of a couple years back and all the drops and all those things still linger. And because when I did the mock draft, when we did the staff mock draft, and I think I took Davante Adams. Boy, it was a top 15 pick.
I'll find out.
It was a top 15 pick, and a lot of folks. There was a lot of question marks on that pick.
In your mentions? Because I don't think anybody in the draft.
Oh, no, I know. And we drafted with a bunch of industry folks. So, I mean, obviously people, there was no question there. But I'm just saying in the mentions, because, again, I think casual fans can't wrap their mind around Davante Adams being a top flight, top 10 fantasy wide receiver.
Well, I think a lot of that is that for years, Jordy Nelson was the headliner in that wide receiver group, and I think, look, understanding that for us, since we spend so much time with it, we are certainly a little bit more sensitive to roster changes and statistical, shifts and that sort of thing. But if you are talking about, you know, folks who are just folks who are coming into this, you know, people who may not pick up this podcast until we get to August or start
right.
thinking about fantasy until, you know, July or August. Yeah, there is still that, you know, hey, wait, okay, Jordy Nelson's not there anymore, and trying to reevaluate the landscape. So, I mean, I understand it. It's just kind of re-educating people who are catching up a little bit later than everybody else. But I think eventually folks are going to catch on.
Yeah.
I do think the Randall Cobb part is interesting because, as Alex mentioned, Matt Harmon has definitely been all over this, especially in the last week or so. And, again, this is another one where I think a lot of people aren't necessarily looking at the situation. They're looking at their feelings. And,
yeah.
And in your heart.
I see what you're saying.
In your heart, you know Randall Cobb has hurt you. He has hurt you deep, right? And so you're not necessarily looking at the fact that Jordy Nelson isn't there, that they're still trying to find a third wide receiver or anything like that. You just know that, you know, you probably went all in on Randall Cobb the last couple of years and you came up with very little and you're just not willing to put your hand on that hot stove again.
Can I throw out a name?
Sure.
Ty Montgomery.
No. You can I throw that name back at you?
I'm just saying, how about if he works into the slot role? That's the role that he was supposed to play. And how about if he cuts into Randall Cobb's production as well and kind of neutralizes both their
everything prospects. The team's been saying is that he's still a quote-unquote running back. And I think they would rather keep him there for the depth. I mean, they don't go out and draft three wide receivers in the span of, like, three rounds unless
they're
going to.
Yeah, but they're all late, right?
But still, they all addressed a certain need. They were all size speed guys on the outside. I also read an article this morning about how Aaron Rodgers was saying there's a good chance Devontae Adams will play more in the slot too, because then they get Jimmy Graham and Devontae Adams in the slot as well, and that's a big matchup nightmare.
It's true.
So I would not expect Ty Montgomery to get it at all. And then again, we haven't touched the backfield, and we should touch it quick before we move on, but Aaron Jones, love him in the middle rounds. Jamal Williams, worth a pickup later. I saw Graham Barfield from fantasyguru.com, I think is where Graham's at right now, and Matthew Berry tweeting back and forth yesterday, and Berry said he had a source on the team that said it'll probably be a committee early on, but Aaron Jones is the one that you want to have by midseason.
Yeah, I mean, just the explosiveness and overall upside. I don't know what the upside is for Jamal Williams, but the upside for Aaron Jones, I mean, if he can control that backfield, watch.
Woo!
Yeah, it's going to be good. Did want to very, very quickly, expectations, can we get some stat projections maybe and maybe some round projections that you would like to take Jimmy Graham?
I think he's firmly in, especially with Hunter Henry going down with the torn ACL. I think Jimmy Graham should be considered in that upper echelon of elite tight ends.
Tight end 3?
Yeah, I'd probably take him. I mean, you'd take Kelsey and Gronk, and I'd probably put Ertz off the board before him too.
Really?
But I think, yeah.
Yeah, I might go Ertz ahead.
Okay. Especially with Ertz, like Trey Burton's leaving. Ertz played the full season. He probably finally shook the "I can only score points in December" moniker that he had
still,
for a long time.
I'm still feeling that. You know,
gotta let it go, James. Gotta let it go. Forget about the past.
Right.
But Jimmy Graham, like, if he doesn't score double digit touchdowns this season, I would say that's honestly an upset.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. All right, well, given that, I mean, what are we talking here? 800 yards, 10 touchdowns? 900 yards?
Yeah, something along those lines. He might not have the might not have the yardage.
Okay.
Maybe like in the, you know, 700 range, 650 to 800, but like 9, 10 touchdowns.
Is he worth a 7th round selection?
I was going to say like 6th, 7th.
I'd say 6th.
8th is where I start looking at him. Where did he go in our
So anywhere between 70 and 90-ish?
He went at 82 in our mock we did last month. Fabs took him in round 7, and I know I was mad because I wanted to take he was falling, and I was like, I took a wide receiver that round instead, and I was like, I bet I can get him back around, and
now
he didn't.
Okay, I got you. All right, so yeah, anywhere between, I think, 75 to 90 is, I think, a good value for Jimmy Graham. All right, let's go to the Lions. 9-7 last year. Jim Caldwell was let go after 4 seasons. Matt Patricia was tabbed as their new head coach. He's a defensive-minded guy. So, thus, he actually held on to Jim Bob Cooter as his offensive coordinator. So, the offense should look and feel relatively the same going into 2018. The team signed LeGarrette Blount and then drafted Kerryon Johnson out of Auburn to fill out that backfield. Eric Ebron was allowed to walk. Former Seahawk Luke Wilson and former Falcon Lavine Toilolo will compete, I would imagine, for starter minutes as well. MG, my guy Marcus Grant, your take on the offseason for the Lions.
It's interesting. I still look at this, and I have a lot of questions as to how. The only things I know for sure.
Yes.
You know, I'm okay with Matt Stafford as kind of a
streamer,
mid to late round quarterback sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that Marvin Jones and Golden Tate will be fine. I'm starting to buy into the Kenny Galladay buzz once again. I think he could take a step forward this year. Beyond that, like I don't want any part of a Lions tight end.
Right.
And I just don't know what to do about the backfield. And I feel like this is a conversation we're going to have pretty much all the way through the summer.
Interesting.
Is how these things are going to I mean, obviously, first off, we got to figure out, who's going to be there and who's not. You know, we're talking about Amir Abdullah maybe not being there and how these roles are going to shake out. But
they've got way too many running backs.
They've got so many running backs. And so, we're still trying to figure out how this committee potentially will work. So I think it will be a committee between Blunt and Johnson and, either
Riddick
or Abdullah, whichever one ends up staying. Nervous.
I think Amir Abdullah should play special teams. He played special teams at Nebraska. I think he was good in that role. I don't think he's got a clear-cut role in the Lions' backfield. And I know it probably hurts because of the draft capital they spent on him. But if he could carve out a role as a special teamers, hey, why the hell not? I would imagine Zach Zenner's probably going to either be a practice squad guy slash cut. Who else they got? Dwayne Washington is a big body practice squad guy and or cut as well. So the backfield, I don't know, man. It's going to be a little bit confusing, obviously, because I really liked what I saw from LeGarrette Blount last year with Philadelphia. You got to keep in mind, the advanced numbers, man, on LeGarrette Blount were so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
They were so impressive. He was the Philadelphia offensive line. Remember, they had some injuries there, but when LeGarrette Blount got the ball, generally defenses knew they were going to run, right?
Yeah.
So the defense was penetrating the backfield on a lot of his carries. Despite that, LeGarrette Blount yards gained after close was one of the best
in the NFL. To give you the actual number, because I wrote about this in I did a piece recently, the sleeper backfields. I think we talked about it a bit last week, but Blount had averaged 4.4 yards per carry, which was the fifth most, tied for the fifth most among backs with at least 150 plus totes. So that's like good company. He's fifth most behind Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Zeke, Mark Ingram. Like, that's really good company. And the next gen stats you were saying is yards gained after close, 4.51 yards per carry after that. He was the fourth most elusive back in the league based on a similar threshold.
It's amazing. I mean, he had such a great season last year and really helped keep that Philadelphia offense afloat.
He just didn't get into the end zone a lot, which was the problem for fantasy.
Which is so weird for LeGarrette Blount, right?
Well, Corey Clement had four touchdowns in that backfield last year.
So I don't know, man. It's going to be some combination. They like Kerryon Johnson, obviously. They spent a very high draft pick on Kerryon, so we'll see.
I mean, he's been getting good reviews out of OTAs again.
Who, Kerryon?
OTAs, yeah.
Okay.
He's been getting some good reviews. But I think he and Blount are nice values to take in standard leagues. You don't want to reach for him, but Johnson, especially because of the muddy nature of that backfield, I think is sliding a little bit in drafts. And I would take him.
Double-digit rounds, though.
No, I don't think so. I think he's going in like the 7, maybe the 10 range.
Hell no.
People tend to be more optimistic on running backs. I think people tend to.
And rookies, too.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, Blount is there only on a one-year deal. They would love for Johnson to be the guy. So I think you want to take him first with that upside of him being the featured guy. But Blount is certainly not somebody to ignore once it hits, like, double digits.
I tell you what. Single digits, I just can't see value for Kerryon Johnson. I just can't see it. I mean, Theo Riddick's going to get some work in the passing game. Like I said, LeGarrette Blount was such a great player last year. Can he do that again? I don't know. They addressed the offensive line a little bit through the draft and a free agency as well. So, I don't know. I think they might try to bring a little bit more balance. You know, Matt Patricia's going to be there, and so they're going to want to try to play some strong defense. Well, strong defense and strong running game, they go hand in hand. So, I don't know, man. Single digits for Kerryon Johnson for me is a little bit too pricey for me. All right, the Vikings, 13-3. They were the class of the NFC North last year. Offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur is gone. He's now the head coach of the New York Football Giants. He helped turn the Vikings into a top-10 scoring offense. A note here, it's the first time since 2009 Minnesota was a top-10 scoring unit. John DeFilippo is their new offensive coordinator now that Shurmur is gone. He was formerly the Eagles quarterbacks coach for the last two seasons. when I think about Pat Shurmur, I think about the tremendous job that he did, because has there been another team in NFL history that has been better at coaching around injuries than the 2017 Minnesota Vikings? Sam Bradford, he got injured. Then you think about the running back situation there. Dalvin Cook got hurt after four games, and yet there they were. There they were, just within a hair's breadth of the Super Bowl. Just
beaten by a team that probably coached around injuries better than they did, because that team went on to win the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean,
but
there you go.
Your point stands. They were exceptionally good at that. I think this offense is set to thrive this year again.
Yep.
I mean, they have everything in place. They have a decent offensive line. They got an upgrade at quarterback.
Huge upgrade, yeah.
Two elite wide receivers. A very solid tight end, and an exceptional running back. He's coming back from an injury, but it happened early enough in the season last year in Dalvin Cook and his torn ACL that he should be good to go.
Dalvin Cook, remember, hurt after four games. In those four games that he played, he was a top 10 running back in PPR formats, averaging more than 16 points per game. He had 444 scrimmage yards in just four games and two touchdowns as well. In that backfield, Jerick McKinnon is now gone. So it's Latavius Murray. It's Dalvin Cook. MG, your thoughts on Dalvin?
Love him. I mean, I loved him last year before he got hurt. If there is upside, and I think we've talked about this, to the injury, it's that it happened relatively early in the year, giving him some time to recover. But I think he is set up to be the bell cow. There's no more Jerick McKinnon. Latavius Murray is sort of a nice backup, but that is what he is. I mean, this is going to be Dalvin Cook's backfield, and with all those other weapons in the passing game, it's not like Jacksonville where Leonard Fournette's going to see eight men in the box every single time he touches the ball. You got to spread out the defense because of this Vikings offense. So I think Dalvin Cook is set up. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends the year as a top five running back.
He's a top 40 player all day long, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
No doubt, right?
No
100%.
Doubt. No doubt. Okay.
No doubt.
By the way, we mentioned Kirk Cousins. They added him, obviously. It's so interesting, man. Sam Bradford, Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater were their quarterbacks last year. They're all gone.
Gone.
Bradford in Arizona, Keenum in Denver, Teddy in New York for the Jets as of now.
Remember, like, the halfway through the year, we're like, oh, man, which one of these guys are going to keep?
Yeah, which one are they going to keep?
None.
Zero is the correct answer. Kirk Cousins, fully guaranteed contract, which is cool. Hashtag trends. Since 1996, Brett Favre and Dante Culpepper are the only Minnesota quarterbacks to have thrown for 4,000 yards and 25 touchdowns. Two benchmarks Kirk Cousins has seen repeatedly.
Yeah, I would say he becomes the third in that span.
The thing I wonder about Kirk Cousins here with Minnesota is Kyle Rudolph. It seemed as if Kirk Cousins, and maybe it's just the Gruden offense, but I don't know how it's going to look with John DeFilippo and Zimmer there in Minnesota, but it seemed as if Kirk Cousins really liked to target his tight ends, or at least utilize them a lot in the passing game. Now, Kyle Rudolph had a pretty good season last year, but it wasn't anything to write home about. So now, with Kirk Cousins under center, does Kyle Rudolph maybe see an uptick in value? Because he's going pretty late, too.
I think Kyle Rudolph is what he is at this point in the NFL. Maybe if he gets a few more targets, sure, that's great. But I think he's probably still going in that, like, he's one of those great guys in the Delanie Walker tier of tight ends, where after you get clear of the guys with the much higher ceilings, he's one of those regular contributors. Worth noting, however, that DeFilippo's 1 year as an offensive coordinator back in Cleveland was 2015, which happened to be the Barnyard Dogs breakout year. Gary Barnage, 125 targets, 79 catches, 1,000 yards, and 9 TDs.
Amazing.
But I think Cousins is great. He's an awesome value at quarterback. It pains me as a Packer fan to draft the Vikings quarterback. But when Cousins falls and mocks and things like that, man, I can't help but take him.
This is a tough division, man. I mean, you look at this division. I mean,
it's a division on the rise. It's probably
the Bears are going to be markedly improved. I think the Vikings, they were 13-3 last year. They're going to win, 11, 12, 13 games again.
Bottom of this division is probably going to be like 8-8. this
what
year.
I'm saying.
Like 7-9 is gonna 7-9 a solid respectable season. You know, the Jeff Fisher pie in the sky goal is gonna be like the cellar dweller of the NFC North. Because this division is getting stacked.
I mean, we're hoping Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. Obviously, all 16 games, but I mean the Lions too, man. I mean, through no fault of their own, they might just. You know, through no fault of that, just because of the division, so they might win six games. So
somebody has to be last.
Or there could be a team in this division that wins 10 games and misses the playoffs.
God, that would be brutal. That would be, but this is a tough division, man, and all kinds of explosiveness too, which is fun to see. So I'm really excited to see how this the NFC North shakes out. But man, oh man, Bears, Packers, Lions, and Vikings. It's gonna be good TV. It's going to be good TV. It's going to be good games. I'm really looking forward to it. All right, so there you go. That's the roster reset for the NFC North. Let's close out your show with a round of Daily Daps.
Now we're talking about dog bites and dipping.
You know, if you like creepy rabbits, this movie's for you.
What a degenerate are you?
Godzilla is down there.
This is why I love this group of guys. We're like, whirlwind. There it goes. Boom.
All right, let's go. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, kick us off.
I want to Daily Dap the Americans.
The Americans.
Tonight is the series finale. Like, this is it.
This is the last one.
It's been six seasons. And I feel like I'm one of, like, 27 people who actually watch this show.
It's a great show.
It's an amazing show. But, like, it doesn't quite get the attention and the love of, like, a lot of the other prestige TV shows.
I see what you're saying.
Nobody talks about it the way they talk about, you know, even Westworld or Game of Thrones or anything like that.
Right.
It's been fantastic from the jump. Kerry Russell, Matthew Reese, Noah Emmerich, everybody involved has been great.
I didn't know Kerry Russell could be that good.
Yeah. I mean, she's a badass.
She's total BS.
She's a badass
total
on that show.
Total BS, yeah.
But it's been so – the story has been well done, and I feel like this last season has arguably been as good or better than any of these seasons that have come before it. So – I just want to shout out the show and everybody involved in it. It's been a fantastic ride and very much looking forward to how they wrap this all up. Things kind of came to a head at the end of last week's episode, so I'm very curious to see how exactly they unravel it. But if you haven't watched it, now that it's over, it's the perfect time to find it.
Hey, there you go.
Just binge watch it all the way straight through. You don't have to worry about that.
You know who might binge watch it?
Who's that?
Producer Christina.
Oh, there you go.
She's a binge watcher.
There you go.
I am a binge watcher.
You should put it on your list to binge watch.
You know what I mean?
I will. I actually am just wrapping up a show on Netflix now. So.
Hey.
There you go.
There it is. I only watched the first two seasons, but the first two seasons were just terrific. I don't know why I never kept watching it. I just got caught up in other stuff. I don't know.
Well, now you can. This is your chance to revisit it.
Actually, you know what I think happened? I think my daughter was born.
Oh, yeah, that's
well,
a thing.
That's important. So,
so there you go, producer Christina. What we got for Daily Daps?
I don't really have anything.
Oh, come on now.
This week, I mean, I had a long weekend.
Yeah,
so
you had a long weekend.
Daily dapping
come
the long
on.
Weekend, the holiday weekend. It was
what
fun.
What was the best place you went over the weekend? Come on now.
I guess just hanging out in
Santa Monica
and Venice, the boardwalk, getting to walk
daily
along
dap
the boardwalk.
That Santa Monica
so,
boardwalk,
yeah.
baby.
It
there
was really
go.
Nice. I thought it was going to be rainy all weekend, so I guess daily dapping the weather, too. It actually was nice all weekend.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. I like it. All right, what do we got, Alex Gilhar?
First, daily daps to John Mayer's music video for
New yes.
Light. He posted it last week. I don't care what you think about John Mayer, but I don't know if this is staged. My feeling is that he kind of faked this story for the publicity, but either way, it's hilarious. So his tweet was, "I needed to make a video for New Light, but nobody could agree on a budget, parentheses, music industry, am I right? So I went to a place downtown and made this with a company that usually does birthday and bar mitzvah videos."
Nice.
So it's like
it is
super
hilarious.
Cheesy, him on a green screen, all these weird backgrounds, locales.
Hell yeah.
It is hilarious. It's so funny.
Hell yeah.
So credit to him for just like, you know,
good.
Goofing around and doing that. Daily Daps to Solo. I saw it over the weekend. Not amazing. Fun. Had too many, for my opinion, eye-rolling kind of like wink-wink nods to the series and Star Wars as a whole. But overall, I thought the main guy, Ehrenreich, did a great job as Solo. He didn't try to be Harrison Ford, which would be a fool's errand, and he still did the character justice.
Right.
And it was a fun little Star Wars romp, and I hope we get more of those. And then as a piggyback off of that, minor anti-daps to Disney and Lucasfilm and their thing, because when I was tweeting about this over the weekend, because they announced that James Mangold, who did Logan wrote and directed that, is going to now signed on to do a Boba Fett standalone film.
Ooh, interesting.
When Disney acquired Lucasfilm and brought in Kathleen Kennedy, who worked with Steven Spielberg for a long time, to oversee it, she had made a point that they were going to make an effort to put a diverse crew behind the camera in terms of writing and directing and stuff. And so far, the only people that have directed or replaced directors or been signed on to direct movies have been white dudes. And I was like, that's some BS. And people were like, what does it matter if they're white? And I'm like, one, like, the color of anybody's skin doesn't matter for their directing credentials. So why would we not want to see other people, like, get a shot at it? They have different perspectives, different ideas. The universe might mean different things to them. And two, if you say you're going to do that, Kathleen Kennedy, then back it up.
Actually do it.
We're like we're 6 movies in right now. And all the planned stuff, they've got the 2 white guys from Game of Thrones have a planned series. Rian Johnson has another planned series. Okay. James Mangold signed on to direct this. I'm like, just give literally anybody else a shot. There's so many talented people out there. We don't need these retreads.
Right.
We don't need the same people we've seen.
Yeah.
Like, give somebody else a shot.
Well, this is my chance to write the – you know, we talked about –
hey, here we go.
No, because Alex and I last week talked about writing a Wedge Antilles
spin-off. That's what I want to see.
Making it a Top Gun with X-Wing fighters. It's like – it's Wedge and Jack Porkins.
I was talking with my buddies too, and they were like, "Well, one of them's a little soured on the whole Disney Star Wars stuff." He was like, "Well, what else could they do as a one-off?" And I was like, "Give me the Wedge Antilles Rogue Squadron one-off or trilogy, like how he became the best pilot in the galaxy."
I mean, couldn't we also just get a totally, I mean, outside of the known universe right now? You know, like just give me like a dark Jedi story. Like,
sure.
In the outer regions of
That's why I kind of like Solo, and I hope they don't build it into like a trilogy or anything, because I just kind of like, I liked Rogue One and I like this. I just like these little
one-offs.
The little spices, like, you know, take me to different corners of the galaxy.
I get what you're saying.
Don't give me a retread of New Hope again and then destroy it in the subsequent film and waste 5 hours of and 3 years of my life. Whoops, sorry. Getting off on a tangent. James, what do you got to deal with that?
Twitter.com was very fun last night. I haven't been that active on Twitter the last couple of weeks. I don't know why, man. I just been taking a little bit of a break mentally.
That's probably for the best.
I think mentally I just needed a break from the old Twitter.com. But I fired it up last night, and man, what a great night to fire it up. I was absolutely enthralled by this whole Brian Colangelo burner account thing. And there were so many memes and GIFs.
You should explain it to the people, because I had no idea what was going on until Marcus explained it to me before.
So here's the deal. The Ringer got a tip that Brian Colangelo was using the team president of the Philadelphia 76ers, who had, by the way, they just had a terrific season this year. The process and all that. It was a lot of fun, you know, but Brian Colangelo, the team president, apparently has at least 5 burner Twitter accounts, so just fake accounts that he created, that he then uses to troll his own players. He's trolled his own players. He's trolled his own coaches. He's trolled and the number one thing that he likes to do is, defend himself, Brian Colangelo, and take shots at Sam Hinkie, the GM who left him this just treasure trove of assets. I mean, it's just, wow. Wow, wow. How petty do you have to be? You have the job, bro. Why are you taking shots at the guy that you replaced? That is, I mean, unbelievably petty. And also, by the way, you're the team president. Why do you need to create fake accounts to then troll Joel Embiid?
I mean,
just call up Joel Embiid.
You have his phone number, right?
You have his phone number. You're in a position of power. You could just say, Joel, come up to my office.
We need to talk.
We need to talk. And all of a sudden, it's Joel Embiid who's like, oh, crap. Here we go. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to create burner accounts to troll these. It's just unbelievable. I was completely I was getting into the psychology of it. I was talking to my wife about, why would someone do this? Is it really him? Is it an intern who got a little feisty? We were talking about it for a while. It was a lot of fun. And then when I'm barely getting through that, Pusha T comes out with another diss track and just set his world aflame, which was great. I mean, oh, Well, that beef is – it's beyond simmering now. That beef is cooked. It's coming.
You think this is – you realize this is all – both these guys have albums coming out, right?
Pusha T and Dre.
This is all set up.
This is all good for them.
This is all marketing. It's all this.
Maybe it is.
I mean, hey, I'm not mad at it. I'm just saying.
The thing that makes me think that it's not just all marketing, though, is the fact that Pusha T on the cover art for this one particular song that he had just released – it's Drake and Blackface.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
That is rough. I don't know, man. Listening to that, listening to the content, reading the think pieces on Pusha T's new diss track.
Was there any mentions to Dragon know. Blood? Because then we certainly know it's marketing.
No Dragon Blood mentions.
Okay.
I'm actually hoping Kanye comes out with the diss track. That would be fun.
I'm hoping Kanye just goes away for a while.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Yeah, that would probably be.
Don't release your album. Just take the one cop, take the master track right now.
Right.
Go sit in a cave.
Put it in a lockbox.
Do some self-reflection.
Yeah.
Talk to Kim for a little while. Come back to us.
There's two options that I would like for Kanye. Either A, just stop. Or B.
It's my preference right now. sit a couple plays out,
yeah,
Kanye.
Just stop. That's one option. That's option A. Option B is release a Drake diss track. That's option B. Now, I know option A is not going to happen. Thereby, give me option B. So let's go there. So that would be fun. All right. So that's the show. For producer Christina, for the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. And for MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. I'm James Coe. You've been listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. We appreciate you listening. Like, subscribe, do it all. Do it right now. We'll catch you next Wednesday.